Well, good afternoon, Kendall. How are you?
All right, thank you.
Good, good. Well, thanks very much for joining me today. I feel like I've seen a lot of you recently.
Yes, yeah, I've basically been living in your house.
Yeah,
Yes.
it's been awesome. It's been awesome hanging out. I'm so glad that we're taking the time to do this as well. I know you're really, really busy, and you're just generally one of the busiest people that I know. And when I mean busy, I mean good busy, as in like stuff's happening. There's been a lot happening for you, and I'm glad that we're getting to spend the time to sort of pick apart your journey through content marketing and give the listeners a feel for like what your journey's looked like, what kind of results and challenges you've had along the way, and generally just get a feel for it. So I think it would be good to just start off with who you are, what type of business you run, give us a feel for what it is that keeps you busy.
Sure. So I'm Kendra MacDonald. I run a marketing agency called Automation Ninjas, and we specialize in behavioral marketing automation. And what that really means is we help our customers understand their customer's journey, create the customer journey, add behavioral elements into it, and then automate that where appropriate. So it sounds quite complicated, but it's actually quite simple. And so we're all about marketing automation, and we're all about making sure that the customer journey is the best experience possible so that businesses can get customer lifetime value out of that.
Awesome stuff. I love, absolutely love it. It's so cool. And I'm sure we'll talk about your book, but it's amazing to see what's happened over the last few months with you publishing your book, Hack the Buyer Brain, and just the buzz that's been around that book. Even just looking at what's happening in CMA, everybody is like, so proud of what you've achieved, but actually getting a ton of value from your content as well. So, I mean, you're essentially in a content, like your business can't really function without content, right? So not just your business, your clients' businesses as well. So everything is about content. So where did, I mean, I know a little bit about your previous career as well, but not so much, I don't think. So where did content marketing sort of start for you? When did you get involved in all of this?
Right, well, I was paying my way through university. I just moved to the UK, and I was putting myself through university in the UK as an international student, which is very expensive. So I had loads of different jobs on at any point in time, up to four jobs at one point. And I landed this one job as being a personal assistant for somebody who worked, had a company that worked in the marketing automation space. It was kind of how I got introduced to marketing automation. I had no idea email marketing was a thing. And it was really working for that person. I very quickly was in his PA. I got really interested in the whole marketing world, and very quickly became his head of operations, and ran that side of the business. And it was then that I got introduced to content and what content was, the pivotal role of copywriting, and how content marketing could be a thing. And funnily enough, my first introduction to copy and to content marketing was through a lack thereof. As I was doing my research, I was like, oh, we really need a website. Website's really important. Why don't we have a website? And he just wasn't interested. Didn't want a website. He didn't believe that businesses needed websites and didn't believe that businesses needed a blog. And so every sort of 6 months, I'd bring it up and be like, I think we should have a blog. And he'd give me the same answer. And he'd say, yeah, but blogs take like up to 8 months to work. So we'd have to wait that long period of time. And then in the next sort of 6 to 8 months, he'd still be hustling for leads. And I'd say, if we had started that blog, I'm quite happy to do it in my spare time. Maybe we wouldn't be here. And then we'd have that argument again. And funnily enough, his company shut down straight to that. And the second that happened, we started our own business. We started Automation Ninjas. And right from the get-go, I knew that mostly out of stubbornness, because he'd not allowed me to do it, that I wanted a decent blog and I wanted a really good website. And so I became pretty obsessed with it pretty quickly.
So what does content look like for your business then? What kind of content have you been working on over the last couple of years?
Well, there's one piece of content that's been the bane of my existence for the last few years, and that's been the book itself. The book has been the biggest piece of content I've ever produced. But running alongside that has been the blog, Writing the blog itself is what gave me the ideas for the book. I created a YouTube channel, and we also have a podcast. So mm-hmm. all three of those mediums, my main focus has been on the written form. I really enjoy it. And mm-hmm. that's what brings us the most leads in as well, through the book and through the blog.
That's interesting. So still to this day, it's the written content that really drives the business forward.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think that's the medium's fault. I think that's my fault more than anything else, because I put so much love, care and attention into the written form, and I tend to neglect the other two forms.
Yeah, so this is the funny thing about it. It's like a lot of people say things don't work or they do work, and when you look at it, it's because they either not or are putting effort into one of those things. Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, our blog works really, really well. Ours doesn't. And it's like, well, that's because I'm putting a lot of effort into mine and you aren't. So
yeah
you get out what you put in, I guess. So other than just pure stubbornness and trying to prove someone wrong, why else do you believe that content marketing truly is the way to go to market, to grow your business, and obviously, you know, not just your business, but your clients' business as well? Why are you such a great advocate of it?
Because we're nothing without content. Literally everything that comes out of our mouths, every conversation we have is content. And taking control, you either have full control of that and create your own customer journey with your own content, create your own blogs, create your own videos, create your own materials to help you with the sales process, or you leave that to somebody else. You leave it to your competition to create really good content and have people go to your competition instead. So everything is content, and you either take control of that and use it to your advantage, or you let your competition take control of that and use it to their advantage. Sure. So content forms the backbone of everything that we do with businesses now. We've got consumers who are desperate to research things and to have more and more and more content to validate their own needs. And if you're not listening to what the consumers want and not listening to the fact that they're demanding really good content, mm-hmm. then you're going to get left behind. So it's a necessity for businesses now. It's not something we can ignore anymore.
Sure. What's, when it comes to, I'm going to pick your brain here in terms, like with regards to your book, right? So within the context of hacking the buyer brain, what do listeners need to understand clearly that goes beyond the sort of what we take for granted in terms of knowing why we need to do content marketing? Like, we know we need to do content marketing because people need to find us when they've never heard of us before. They need to validate their needs. They need to validate their sort of increase their confidence and trust around the products mm-hmm. they're buying. What else? Like, what's another layer that maybe people are missing out on and don't understand at all, that they need to understand to really buy into why content matters so much as part of this buyer's journey and understanding mm-hmm. customers?
Well, I mean, I think the most important part to me is the fact that the brain demands it. So there's a great piece of research done by Brian Knutson of Stanford University. And what they did is they took people and put them in fMRI scanners and asked them to go through the buying process. They said, we're going to show you a picture of something that you might like, then we're going to show you the price, and then whether you push a button to say whether or not you would buy that with real money. And they watched the brain kind of activation throughout this process. And what they discovered was the purchase formula, the process that the brain actually goes through when it's making a purchase decision. When they saw the thing that they wanted, the most universal example used in the experiment was a box of chocolates. You see the box of chocolates and the reward center of your brain lights up. Great, makes complete sense. But when you see the price or the cost of a product, the pain center of the brain lights up. So that's literally the part of the brain that is responsible for dealing with physical and emotional trauma. And that's how we understand the cost of a product. And so doing all of this, the scientists were able to actually, by looking at the brain activation, figure out before the person pushed the button, whether or not they were going to push the button. Because in order to have a purchase decision, there has to be more reward activation than pain activation. And so there's a formula that goes along with that. And that's fascinating, because when we know that, and with the more experiments that have been done as a result of this piece of experimentation, this piece of really, really good investigation into how the brain works, there's only two ways to influence a purchase decision. And that is to increase the amount of reward activation or decrease the perceived cost of a product. And you can't really eliminate cost because that's how the brain, you can't eliminate the pain activation because that's just how the brain understands purchasing something. You're giving your resources away. It's painful. The brain doesn't want to do that. But you can increase the amount of reward activation. And the easiest way to increase the reward activation is to heighten the position of your brand. And in order to heighten the position of your brand, you need to be providing things that consumers want. And they need to understand why the position of your brand is at that certain level. They need to form that relationship with you. Easiest way to do that is content. So going down to the psychology of it, going down to the neuroscience of why this is important, you can heighten the position of your brand and you can positively influence the sales process through quality content. And that's really the only thing that we have that much control over. So it's really, really important in influencing the outcome of a purchase decision to heighten that position of the brand. And you can do that with content in the most cost-effective way possible.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's such a great insight. Really powerful stuff. So when it comes to your business, Kenda, then, and you're looking at your content, what would you say? Because this is obviously the people listening to this podcast are going to be people like you, you know, business owner, marketers. Would you say when you're applying all of this theory to your own business, I'm kind of curious like what that looks like for you in terms of, you know, what's perhaps the best performing content or some insights you've learned about your own buyers that have allowed you to sort of say, yep, this is clearly works. This is something that we need to do more of, or perhaps even in the last 6 months, you've learned something significant that's been a gap for you, for example, that you really need to work on.
Yeah. So we've been working really hard on treating ourselves like our own clients. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working really hard on our content plan, and we've taken the entire customer journey, stripped the whole customer journey back, and we're layering little bits of content onto each part of the customer journey for our consumers. We've realized the insight that we've had in doing this process is that every step along the journey from when someone is first searching for something all the way through to signing a contract and working with us all the way through right through to the end when they're saying to their friends and you know, business colleagues that you need to go work with these guys, we've realized that content plays an important role. So one of the most important things that we noticed throughout that process is that our customers consume as much content after they become a customer as they did before they became a customer. So they don't stop consuming our content just because they're a customer. They're still interested in the information that we're putting out. So they're consuming loads of content all the way through. Secondarily, by taking content and putting it into a really well-structured journey in the format of the book has significantly shortened our sales process. Significantly shortened it because people consume the book, spend a lot of time with us, they build a relationship with us, they really see the value of what we're putting out there, and they come to us straight away as a result of reading the book. So we get our best leads from the book, but our customers are still reading all of our blog posts long after they've purchased, even when they've been a customer for 2-3 years, they still read our blog posts every single week.
So what you're telling me is that once you've published a book, you can't just stop blogging. Is that what you're saying?
I thought
you published a book and that would be done. No?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. And I think there's a big mistake that a lot of businesses make when they think that content is only getting leads in.
Yes.
Its role is not to just get leads in. Its role is also to keep the people who are your customers nodding their heads and being happy about the fact that you're still singing from the same hymn sheet effectively.
Absolutely.
So you have a role to play there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think this is so you've talked to me about this before. You've even sort of like nudged me on this a few times as well to sort of say, like, I think you spend a little bit too much time on the awareness stages of the buyer's journey rather than either towards the sale and after. And that's a fair comment, I think. And this is what I wanted to pull out from this conversation for the listeners to say, look, there's like one level of content marketing, which is that you're writing a blog, right? And you're creating, maybe you're doing some big five content, they ask you answer content, buyer's journey content, whatever, but you're really like at a high level, right? What we're talking about here is you're like really getting into the specific parts of the buyer's journey and doing multiple pieces of content for that single part of the journey to not only help people move through the journey, but to move through it faster and in a much more confident way. So like what I'm seeing in my head is like almost like layers, right? Yeah. And what we're getting to is this layer where you're like at the sort of the sort of micro layer where you're really digging in deep and you're pulling it all apart and you're filling content into each gap right through the process. And I think people don't realize, like, I think a lot of people when they think about content marketing is it's like a one layer, one track thing. But actually, it's multiple layers with multiple tracks, because if you've got more than one type of customer or one type of buyer and one type of industry, more than one type of industry, sorry, you're going to have different tracks, buyer's journeys with different types of questions and problems and challenges and different types of content. So I think it's interesting the level that you've gone to. Obviously, a big element here, Kendra, is like you've got to practice what you preach, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like the pressure's on me for this as well, but you take that for granted, I think. But a lot of marketing companies just do not practice what they preach, right? So I think it's interesting to say, yep, we wrote the book, we've got all the content, we actually help people to actually implement this in their companies and their businesses as well, but we're also doing it for our own company too, which I feel like is a massive deal. It's hugely important.
Yeah, I mean, I've had clients come to us simply because of the fact that they've signed up for various different things from you know, four or five different, one client in particular made me laugh. He said he signed up for four or five different people that he was looking at that were specialists at doing stuff with Infusionsoft. And it was only one company that actually followed up in an automated way and in a manual way. The other four companies all followed up manually. We were the only company who had stuff in place to follow up automatically. And he came with us because we were doing what we said other people should do. And so I think it's really important for your customers that if you're in this kind of industry, that you should be practicing what you preach, because so many don't. Now, the cobbler's always got the worst shoes, right? But I don't think we can afford to do that anymore.
No, absolutely not. It comes down to confidence and trust as well, I think. So, and also when people know that you're also doing the work, I think it makes them feel like, well, like you've got true empathy for the, like what's involved in actually doing it. Like you truly understand what it takes to do the work.
Yes.
On that, what would you say has been your biggest challenge, Kendra, with content marketing and implementing it in your own company to get new customers and to keep the customers you have?
Wow. I think a combination of two things. One was the sheer massive, enormous job that it was very overwhelming. And constantly comparing ourselves against other people who had already done that whole thing. We were comparing ourselves against companies that had been creating content for 10 plus years. We look back at our content and go, oh my God, we're getting nowhere fast. That was probably something that held us back. And then also not starting at a logical place. We tried to start at the beginning of the awareness journey and didn't look who our perfect customers were, didn't look at who they were properly, and realized that our perfect and our ideal customer was actually some way up the awareness journey, and we could start there and work backwards from that. Those were probably the two things that held us back: a little bit of imposter syndrome and comparing ourselves to other companies, and then not being really clear what the most important starting point was and what the priority was.
Yeah.
Those were our two challenges. It wasn't a technical skill set. It was something that we could do because we do it for our clients. We just got stuck because we were weighing ourselves up against the big boys without realizing they had to start somewhere too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a really important point, is like you don't, the beginning, or what seems like the beginning, isn't always the most, not just logical, but most strategic place to start. And I think a lot of people think it is. And one of the places that we always start with companies, Kendra, is starting with like where people are the most like hot in the buyer's journey. Yeah. Like it makes sense to start, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's where your low-hanging fruit is. So yeah, I think it's great. It's a great insight. And it's good that you, like, coming to that on your own terms, it shows you like that you're doing the work as well, which is awesome. How would you say content marketing has changed your business, changed your career?
So, when we started out in the industry, we were just the kind of people that you just pointed, you came up with a strategy yourself and you said, just build me this thing. We were basically like super, super cheap labor. I knew from the get-go that we had a skill set that was way above super cheap labor, but that was because we had no one behind us. We didn't have much in the way of like kudos or any authority in the industry. We had to start somewhere, and that was the lowest rung to start at. And because we started building content around us, the positioning that it gave us, we could prove to people that we knew what we were talking about. And because we could prove to people that we knew what we were talking about, our positioning jumped up sevenfold, tenfold. And now we're almost at the top of our industry as a result of the content. You know, we're winning awards for our content. We're winning all sorts of things. We've just, Chris, before I came on this call, Marketing Automation Specialist of the Year for 2019 is what we've just been given.
That is awesome.
I'm over the moon about that. And yeah, they judged that completely independently. We were nominated, but they judged that completely independently. And what did they look at? Our blog. They looked at our blog, they spoke to some of our customers, and it was a big part of it was the presence that we put out to the world, our social presence and our website presence, the book, and then our presence with our customers. And we would never have been able to get to that point without content. So we've been able to charge more, we've been able to charge what we're worth, we've been able to work with clients that we would never have been able to work with, we've been able to fire clients as a result of content, you know. Getting rid of clients that are bad for us. It's done huge amounts for us. And ultimately it's given us the accolades that everybody likes to have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. I love it. And you're making such like this last year or so just seems to be like such incredible progress. But I know, like, you know, it's difficult for someone that's listening to a 25-minute podcast to kind of like dig into it. But I know that there's been like so many challenges and struggles along the way, yet we're still here, still alive, still trying to be better, still trying to make progress, still saying we're not good enough yet, we've got to do better. You know, it's just continuous process and like never giving up, I think is clear in your sort of determination to something that you're truly proud of. And it's amazing. I think it's not just commendable, it's inspiring. What would you, for those that are listening, what kind of recommendations would you give them for starting on their content marketing journey?
I think the first thing would probably be to start small. I like to do everything 100%. And yeah, so I started with a blog and a video and a podcast. That was a terrible idea. Don't do that. Just start small. Do something that is achievable but still pushes you out of your comfort zone. Just make sure that your goals are really realistic. And start somewhere it's going to make the biggest impact possible for you. And so we ended up finding out that our hottest prospects just needed a few little extra pieces of content to push them over the line. And that was the content that we started out with. And that's still our best performing content. And so if you can start small and you can start in the most strategic place possible, you'll start getting a taste for the content and you'll be able to push out into other areas.
Awesome. So start, I think it's so good advice. Like I think a lot of people, like you said, Kenda, just sort of like jump in with both feet and think they can do everything at once. And it's just, it doesn't matter what size your company is, right? You've got a limited amount of resource, right? You've got to appreciate that. But also I think like there's a key thing there though as well, Kenda, I mean, if you could go back and just do one thing, no doubt you'd be able to do that one thing way better than you could have done if you were, because you were spreading yourself across multiple platforms with multiple challenges.
And I just wasn't strategic about it. I created a bunch of content I thought people would be interested in without validating that with any kind of data, like at all. I never validated anything. And it was only until we came across Marcus's book and it kind of hit me in the face. I was like, I've been overcomplicating this massively. I've been acting like it's a big secret to try and figure out exactly what people are interested in. When the questions that people are asking is what you should be answering.
The answers are like right in front of you pretty much. Yeah.
I was like looking for the perfect secret content, like this is gonna be it's not that complicated. Just answer the questions people are asking you.
Yeah. The funny thing about Marcus Sheridan's book is that if you discover it like you have, like you went from complex to simple, it makes sense. But see, when people discover something simple, they want to complicate it. It's funny, we're wired up so funny, it's strange. Okay, no, it's been amazing chatting with you. I know you're a busy lady, you've got lots of things going on. It's been so good spending time with you. Thanks for spending that time with me and unpacking your journey and documenting it. No doubt we'll jump back onto the podcast in a few months' time and see where you're at, and we'll be able to share something else with the people. But I want to make sure that everybody picks up your book. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and if they've got any questions or they want to pick your brain about something, Kenda, where's the best place for people to do that?
So you can just hit me up on email or on Twitter. So email is just kenda@automationninjas.com. And then Twitter is just @automationninjas with one N in the middle.
Awesome. I will make sure people know where to find you and they can ask you some questions. Thanks so much for joining me today, Kenda. I really appreciate it. I'll speak to you soon.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.